We may be weak, but looking at our weakness will never make us strong. No trying to feel bad and doing penance will help us to be even a little holier. There's no help there. So let us be bold in our approach because of the blood. Lord, I do not know fully what the value of the blood is, but I know that the blood has satisfied thee. So the blood is enough for me, and it is my only plea. I see now that whether I've really progressed, whether I've really attained to something or not, is not the point. Whenever I come before thee, it is always on the ground of the precious blood. Then our conscience is really clear before God. No conscience from the blood. It is the blood that gives us boldness. No more conscience of sins. These are tremendous words of Hebrews 10, verse 2. We are cleansed from every sin. They truly echo the words of Paul, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin." In view of what we've said, we can now turn to face the enemy, for there is a further aspect of the blood which is Satanward. Satan's most strategic activity in this day is as the accuser of the brethren. And it is as this that our Lord confronts him with his special ministry as high priest, through his own blood. How then does the blood operate against Satan? It does so by putting God on the side of man against him. The fall brought something into man which gave Satan a footing within him, with the result that God was compelled to withdraw himself. Man is now outside the garden, beyond reach of the glory of God, because he is inwardly estranged from God. Because of what man has done, there is something in him which, until it is removed, renders God morally unable to defend him. But the blood removes that barrier and restores man to God and God to man. Man is in favor now, and because God is on his side, he can face Satan without fear. You remember that verse in John's first epistle, and this is the translation of it I like best, "The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin." It is not exactly all sin in the general sense, but every sin, every item. What does it mean? Oh, it is a marvelous thing. God is the light, and as we walk in the light with him, everything is exposed and open to that light, so that the blood is able to cleanse from every sin. What a cleansing! It is not that I have not a profound knowledge of myself, nor that God has not a perfect knowledge of me. It is not that I try to hide something, nor that God tries to overlook something. No, it is that he is in the light, and I too am in the light, and that there the precious blood cleanses me from every sin. The blood is enough for that. Since God, seeing all our sins in the light, can forgive them on the basis of the blood, what ground of accusation has Satan? Satan may accuse us before him, but if God is for us, who is against us? God points him to the blood of his dear Son. It is the sufficient answer against which Satan has no appeal. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that shall condemn? It is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather that was raised from the dead. Who is at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? So here again our need is to recognize the absolute sufficiency of the precious blood. Christ, having come a high priest, through his own blood, entered in once for all into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. He was Redeemer once, He has been high priest and advocate for nearly 2,000 years. He stands there in the presence of God, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Note the words of Hebrew 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ? They underline the sufficiency of his ministry. It is enough for God. What then of our attitude to Satan? The reason why we so readily accept his accusations is that we are still hoping to have some righteousness of our own. The ground of our expectation is wrong. Satan has succeeded in making us look in the wrong direction. Thereby, he wins his point, rendering us ineffective. But if we have learned to put no confidence in the flesh, we shall not wonder if we sin, for the very nature of the flesh is to sin. Do you understand what I mean? It is because we have not come to appreciate our true nature and to see how helpless we are that we still have some expectation in ourselves, with the result that when Satan comes along and accuses us, we go down under it. God is well able to deal with our sins, but he cannot deal with a man under accusation, because such a man is not trusting in the blood. The blood speaks in his favor, but he is listening instead to Satan. Christ is our advocate, but we, the accused, side with the accuser. We have not recognized that we are unworthy of anything but death, but as we shall shortly see, we are only fit to be crucified anyway. We have not recognized that it is God alone that can answer the accuser. And within the precious blood, he has already done so. Our salvation lies in looking away to the Lord Jesus, and in seeing that the blood of the Lamb has met the whole situation created by us. That is the sure foundation on which we stand. Never should we try to answer Satan with our good conduct, but always with the blood. Yes, we are sinful, but praise God, the blood cleanses us from every sin. God looks upon the blood whereby his Son has met the charge, and Satan has no more ground of attack. Our faith in the precious blood, and our refusal to be moved from that position, can alone silence his charges and put him to flight. And so it will be, right on to the end. Oh, what an emancipation it would be if we saw more of the value in God's eyes of the precious blood of his dear Son.